True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We were watching the last few minutes of the programming that is on SNY before we come on and is replaying the Mets game. Now, I don't want to watch the Mets game. As much as I love watching baseball, and oh, I'm weird, I'm a geek, I score games, I watch games once. Maybe 20 years later I'll do a rewatch, but there's got to be some time that goes by. I don't like to watch games over and over again. Yeah, I saw
this
once.
This encore won't last.
You don't think so?
No.
20 years from now, if the Mets win the World Series, I could see doing a rewatch.
And watching Juan Soto strike out.
If they go on and win the World Series.
This year.
Yeah, this year.
Yeah, it's got to be pertinent to this year.
And it's 20 years from now, and we're like, oh, man, we got to remember 2025. That year was crazy. I could see going back and watching opening day in that regard, but that's 20 years from now. Right. Dude, you'll do it in November with Hoffman on a rebound. Who are you kidding?
I'm a loser.
Are you serious? I've never gone back and watched a game from the past season.
Because you haven't won a World Series. Think about what you just said.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If they win the World Series, maybe I'll go back in 20 years. BS. It'll be Thanksgiving, Black Friday. Huh? If you want to fire up opening day and go back and relive it.
Actually, that's a good point. If they win the World Series, that'll be the Ricos the entire offseason. We'll just rewatch a bunch of games.
Dude, you'll have content every day.
I know.
You have multiple. You could do multiple Ricos.
That's true.
Every day.
We'll do two Ricos a day. Well, as I was watching the final few seconds on SNY, and hello, SNY. By the way, the reason I'm wearing this big Yankee L is because Nolan Arenado is not a Yankee. I reported that with my brain for a month and a half. I take an L. I was wrong. But as I'm watching the end of the Soto at-bat, I have to admit, the slider that Juan went after was a lot nastier than I recall at first blush. I think I was so disgusted that he struck out.
Right.
And I quickly shut the TV off and quickly went to the Rico Brogna studio that I didn't fully understand how nasty the slider was. So earlier, a caller said, hey, you should just tip your hat to Josh Hader. And I said, I will not do that. And Tiki said, don't be a hater on Hader.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do want to declare it 401. Flowers for Josh Hader. It was a nasty pitch.
It was. Never really had a chance to be a strike.
Yes.
Juan was fooled from jump.
He was fooled from jump. Now, with that said, there was something else that was happening yesterday on opening day that had a chance to be an epic story. Epically bad story, but an epic story. And that was Devin Williams in the ninth inning as he came in for his first save. So he comes in. They're up 4-1. They get the two home runs. Aaron Judge hits that double off the bag. Carlos Rodon was great. Luke Weaver was great. Like, oh, boom, boom, boom. Everybody's happy. And Devin Williams comes in. And Sean Morash was in the building. So I want you to walk us through this. He gives up a leadoff hit to Joey Ortiz. Runner on first, nobody out, 4-1. Are you worried?
Not for the first batter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. One batter in. Not worried. Tiki Barber, as you're sitting there drinking a scotch on your couch.
I think it was Irish whiskey at that point.
Irish whiskey. Mm. When Ortiz gets the leadoff hit, are you worried?
No.
Okay. The second batter.
Nerves.
Nerves. Little nerves.
First time Yankee nerves.
Normal.
The Bronx.
Sure.
It's hard. You're seeing pressure. You feel it.
You're also seeing someone pitch with like a full beard and you're very confused.
It's like, who is this? What am I watching?
This isn't allowed.
Then Isaac Collins hits that double, which, by the way, was an elite. Do you know about that crap? It was illegal. What happened? Isaac Collins hit a double, and Trent Grisham took his hat off and used his hat to knock the ball down. That's not allowed.
What's the penalty?
The penalty
is
a triple. I swear to God. Now, the rule is written in a way. So remember me, what's the movie about the women who play baseball?
A League of Their Own.
Remember the League of Their Own when...
Madonna, May, yeah. Mortavita.
Look at you. You love that movie.
I do love that movie.
Wow. Okay. Madonna puts
I'm impressed,
the...
I'm
He was like all over that.
I know. It's like
I know why. Prime Madonna for Tommy Lugan.
And prime Gina Davis.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. So remember when Madonna sticks her hat out to catch the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Illegal. You're not allowed to do that. So the rule states if you do that, it's three bases. Now, Grisham didn't catch the ball with his hat, but you saw this, Sean.
Yeah, he just knocked it down and not ricochet along
you
the wall.
You can't do that.
We can do it in wiffle ball.
They can't do it in baseball.
Well, it's only illegal if you get called for it.
Right.
That's true. So now, second and third, nobody out. Sean Morash, are you worried?
Yes, and that was the first moment around the crowd of people I heard my first, here we bleep and go. That was what happened. Now, put a pin in that for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
When Devin Williams entered the game, Evan.
Yes.
Devin Williams was so jacked up to enter the game, the bullpen gate emptied, and he ran in. However, it was during Grisham, ironically, gets called out at second. There was an umpire review Devin Williams was unaware of. So he enters the game with no flair, no song. His big Yankee entrance is just silence as a review is going on. And he stopped by the umpire to look up. I say that to say, right off the bat, Devin Williams' whole first Yankee appearance was completely flustered. So when the second guy gets on...
I don't think I knew that.
You probably didn't know because it was in commercial break on TV. So in the stadium now, that when the double happens, you're going, he's all out of whack because of the way he entered, and now it's
you know,
two guys.
Why didn't he go back to the dugout?
Well, he stood there and waited, but then it was just the whole thing was awkward.
He should have went back to the dugout.
He should.
I mean, the bullpen. He should have went back to the bullpen.
But it's such a long sprint.
It doesn't matter. Do it again. Keep your routine right.
It's
not your fault that they screwed it up.
It's a weird spot. Like, I get what you're saying, and I think you're right that probably did screw him up.
Yeah.
Because he's standing there, and now he's waiting. And you know the way guys are. They're routine driven.
Creatures of habit, especially closers.
And considering he came in and the first three guys got on base, it fits. So... is that in your mind as you're starting to worry because now there's second and third, nobody out?
Well, and not only that, you could easily see he's throwing hittable straight.
Right.
The airbender, right? Nothing was bending, and he wasn't finding the strike. So I think that was it. It just felt like he had no put-away stuff in his first two batters.
I was saying, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
Wow. It took two batters?
Yes.
See,
actually, it took three. Once he got, once the bases are loaded, it was like, dude, what in the heck?
Okay. So get to the third batter.
Yeah, because I'll play along, and I'm an IBO, and you're going to claim I'm trolling or something. I wasn't worried yet. Like, I was still like, all right, he's Devin Williams, he'll be fine. Then just take a deep breath. He probably has some nerves. It's his first game at Yankee Stadium. And one factor that we should throw in there that I know you guys don't care about but matters, he's facing his former team.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a weird spot for him.
They not that they know him, because it's not like he's pitching against them all the time, but still, they know him.
They know him. Now he walks Jake Bowers. Bases loaded, nobody out, 4-1 in the ninth inning. How worried are you?
Full-blown panic. And this was the moment I tweeted something that I actually stole from the crowd around me. Because I had left where I was sitting in the bougie seats to be with people. That was the first moment I heard a Yankee fan go, we ended the beer bleeping policy for this bleeping guy. First appearance, opening day, people looking to reverse the beard policy.
Wow.
So I want you to understand. Most of the day on this radio station has been different conversations about Juan Soto. If Devin Williams had completed the blown save...
didn't.
I know he didn't, but the conversations around here would be completely different. Because I'm not even sure if Yankee fans would have been able to troll. They would have been in such a bad mood.
Right.
And the debate would have been, should they have gotten rid of the beard policy? Mm-hmm. Like, it would have been so stupid.
Or just, why don't you just leave Luke Weaver in there?
Yeah, right. Oh, God,
just let Luke finish it.
You're right. So bases loaded, nobody out. Bryce Durang comes up. Hits a sacrifice fly. Actually, even before that. I want to go before that. He fell behind him 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
That was the moment as an IBO. I said, holy crap, he's going to blow this.
Yep.
And I was chuckling a little bit like, whoa, is he really going to blow this? And that's when the first time I heard this over TV, you tell me you're in the building, that I heard the typical New York groan.
Yep.
You hear that groan sometimes, especially this year at Ranger games, because they stink. You hear that groan like, oh, we couldn't score in a power play again. We suck. You know what I'm talking about, Sean.
Yeah, I understand. The Rangers' power play sucks. I don't know why you're working that way into Devin Williams right now.
Because
bitch, New York Ranger fan.
I'll tell you why. Because the Knicks fans don't do many groans. Have you done many groans this year?
I'm groanless.
Okay. the Net fans aren't real people. Right. They're from Portugal.
Correct.
Not that you're not real people. You're just tourists.
Yes.
There's no groans in Brooklyn, okay? The baseball season just started. So where are the groans, Sean? There's only groans at Madison Square Garden. Right.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
For that overrated hockey team.
Nah, probably UBS too.
Damn it!
Yeah, there's some groans.
Jersey too.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Shut up, Tommy. Since Jack Hughes got hurt, yes. So that was the first time we heard the groans. What are you thinking in that moment?
Well, the baseball instinct was he cannot find the strike zone because everything else in between was foul tips and everything. But it's full-blown. We're losing this game. Or at the very least, we're going to all have to make sure we sit back down for extra innings and there is fury. I will tell you, though, you're actually going to get to and maybe miss the moment where it was, oh my God, this is going to be a long season.
Okay.
After the sack fly, you have one out.
Is it the stolen base?
It's the stolen base.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you take the double play away, and then that became what a long season this is going to be.
For me as an IBO, the 3-1 crowd groan was my first time of like chuckling, he may blow this.
Mm-hmm.
He gets Terang out on a sack fly. Okay, got an out. But when Churio was up and Bauer stole second,
yep.
And now they're second and third, and they're a base hit away from tying it. Completely agree with you.
Yeah.
I was like, holy jeez.
And Churio was already 4 strikeouts in at that point.
And you figure there's no way he's going to get the golden sombrero. Oh, no, the platinum sombrero.
Right.
How worried are you at this point, Teak?
I'm already done.
What do you mean you're done?
I'm done. I'm like, he's blowing this game. it's over. Now, good. The Yankees still had a chance to fix it, but still, it's like he's blowing this game.
Well, the question is,
I'm so pessimistic.
How do you blow it? If you walk off the mound, then it's a tie game.
Mm-hmm.
You still feel like, all right, I feel good about my chances of winning.
Yeah.
If you give up a home run and now all of a sudden you're down a run or two, it's a different vibe.
I'm thinking he's giving up a home run. But then the next at bat, that's what got me back confident.
When he got Churio out, struck him out for a fifth time?
It was heavily. The only thing he was throwing for strikes was the changeup.
Yeah.
It's like, just throw the changeup.
That's it, man.
Don't think.
Just
throw
the changeup. And Churio battled him.
Yes.
Now Christian Yelich comes up. There's two outs. You're an out away, but it's Christian Yelich.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of history here.
Yep.
Where's your confidence level, Sean?
I was starting to get shaken until a wonderful listener named Joni decided this was the moment she was going to call out my name and ask for a selfie.
No.
Really?
Yes.
At that moment?
Joni, if you're listening, you pick that moment to take a picture of me, and I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm convinced it calmed the whole nerves of where we were.
So it really
worked
out.
Took a picture, and she said, calm down, it's a long season. I said, you're right.
You know,
and the rest is history.
She's right that it's a long season. You can't blow a 4-1 lead on opening
day. You can't. You can't. And you can't ask for a picture with two outs in the ninth and a potentially blown save.
So then he strikes out Christian Yelich. He gets the save. Is it a sense of relief walking out of Yankee Stadium, or is it a fired upness?
What I noticed immediately, and only anybody there can attest to this, I'm convinced they played, and remember what they're doing with the Frank Sinatra stuff with the losses and the wins?
They won't play Frank after losses now.
That was the loudest over the speakers I have heard New York play in years.
Really?
I don't know if they changed speakers. It was the loudest moment in the stadium all game. Mm. It was almost like sending the message, we're back, we're here, we only play this after wins. And everybody went nuts in unison. The entire stadium sung at the top of their lungs, walking out like Met fans did after the Subway Series last year.
There you go. We did do that. I give Devin Williams a lot of credit, Tiki, because...
Because he's not available till Tuesday now?
No, it's not about that. It wasn't a great performance,
obviously. He threw more pitches than Clay Holmes did yesterday.
He also threw more pitches than he threw
any
game last season. There was no game last season which he threw more than 32 pitches. He threw 36. It has nothing to do with that. Where I give him a lot of credit is, that's a tough spot. It is your debut with great expectations. He knows the beard policy was half changed because of him. He's against his former team. There's a lot of emotion involved. You're facing some of their best hitters once the bases are loaded. And to show enough composure, I thought, to get those last two outs and get the job done, as shaky as it was, I think he's going to be fine. And I give him a lot of credit for not letting that snowball into something worse. So it was not a great debut. But he didn't blow it.
Right.
He got the job done. I give him credit.
He's got the one next to the S, so that's all that matters.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think it relaxes him a little bit. Mm-hmm. As far as when he'll be available again, look, the Yankees have an off day today because of that, you know, in case it rains out. He probably won't pitch Saturday. He should be able to go on Sunday, I'd assume. But don't worry about it. It's only one game into the season. And there's going to be a lot of games where you don't need your closer because either you lose or you win by 9 runs.
I feel like we're already overusing the pen. We were with the Tim Hill,
the pen.
Luke Weaver, a lot of pitches for Devin Williams. Who's even available?
Mark Leiter Jr. looked lights out. It was a good Yankee victory, but it came very, very close. You teetered on an all-time opening day disaster. Let's go to Patrick in Milford, Connecticut. Hey, Patrick.
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
What's up?
So I got the same vibe when I was at the stadium yesterday, but in my opinion, it's not baseball season yet in the Bronx until you hear some mokes and groans in the crowd, you know? So it wasn't that bad of a sign. My thing is, Yankee fans, not including myself, but Yankee fans have this bias of always having public enemy number one on their list every year, whether it was Clay Holmes last year, Donaldson, Gallo, you know, guys in years prior. How long of a leash do you think they're going to give Williams before, you know, you start becoming public enemy number one over here? I'm not trying to overreact or anything, but what do you guys think?
I would think that's a slight overreaction. There's not enough bad history for Yankee fans to turn already.
And Yankee fans don't care about the home run to Alonso last year. Let's just take that out of our memory bank. That's something we'll use as trolling data, but it's not a real thing.
But only if he gives up a home run to Alonso in the Subway Series.
And that's not till May.
Otherwise, who cares?
No, I think that Devin Williams got the job done yesterday, as shaky as it was. So I don't think yesterday even counts in the how much leash does he get. Like, he has to blow saves.
Right.
If he blows saves, he's going to get crushed.
I think the other thing that makes him so different than Clay Holmes, who was the closer last year, is that he's looking to strike out these batters in the save situations. He's not trying to get ground balls. He's not trying to get weak contact or short pop-ups. He's trying to strike them out.
Right.
And that's a different... That's what a closer's supposed to be like. And the Yankees haven't had that in a minute.
I get you. Sean's in a very tough spot because my sister, my brother-in-law, my nephew are here. Remember, they're big Panther fans.
Mm-hmm. Very uncomfortable.
And they're all wearing their Panther Stanley Cup stuff around, Sean.
Very uncomfortable.
Have you congratulated any of them since they came into the studio?
Not going to get that from me. They're very cordial, nice people, and you're not going to congrats from me. Matter of fact...
They beat your team in the
Sean,
conference
finals.
Sean, you
can read, right? It says champions up there.
Not only could I read, Tiki... You know, Evan's sister, wonderful. Evan's brother-in-law, wonderful. This little nephew, completely mean-mugging me the moment he came in.
Gavin,
you won the cup.
Do you want to talk to him on the radio, or would you prefer not to? It's your call.
He can't hear you.
He's looking at me. He can hear me. He gave me a nod. He doesn't want to, and that's okay. I'll take care of him for you, okay? Uncle Evan will take care of you.
Just cut him out at the knees.
Yeah. Hey, watch this. Watch this. watch this, Gavin. I got you. Rangers suck. Remember what Big Bob did to you in the Eastern Conference Finals last year?
Remember what Juan Soto did yesterday?
Wait, we're talking hockey right now. We're breaking down puck.
No, we're talking hockey too, because Juan Soto thought he had a hockey stick with the way he swung at that ball yesterday.
See, this is why you should have done it, Gavin, because now I'm getting killed. I got to deal with Met shrapnel from this. If the season ends today, the Panthers are obviously in the postseason. They have a first-round match.
I hope so. They won the cup. They'd be real disappointing if they didn't.
No, but they're in a playoff spot. Yeah. If the season ends today, who do the Rangers play in the playoffs? I forgot.
Well, and is today over?
No, I'm just curious. Like, if the season, because we're
if the season ended at 4:15 before the Rangers played tonight?
I'm just curious. Like, right
they
now,
they would play nobody, but there's a chance at 4:15 a.m. the Rangers would play... Maybe the Panthers?
I'll tell you
the Capitals?
The Panthers right now would play the Lightning in the first round of the postseason. Ooh, it's very
like
tight, that Atlantic division. Very tight. Mm. The Rangers, hold on, I'm looking at
wow,
the stadium.
It is tight. I didn't realize that.
No, it's very tight. The Rangers are actually not in the playoffs. They're tied with the Islanders, but the Islanders have a game in hand.
Yeah.
And they're a point behind Montreal. Yeah. And the last wild card team would play the Capitals. That's how it would line up. So, yeah. So you don't play anybody. Just want to give you an update.
Okay.
Yeah. I did that for you.
Good for you, Ed.
Rangers are playing a shuffleboard if the season ended today.
Yeah, you go down to Florida. You can go down to Sunrise.
We're going down to Florida anyway.
Play some shuffleboard. Let's go to, all right. This guy says I'm a Rob Manfred shill. All right, let's take that call. JR in Somerville, please explain to me how I'm a shill for Commissioner Rob Manfred.
All right.
What up, JR?
This is, first off, you write multiple checks to billionaires yearly, all right? So you're totally out of touch when it comes to this. But to get on the air and then tell people, the regular Joe, that it's okay that you have problems with MLB app, you know, just go buy cable, is something that would come directly out of Rob Manfred's mouth, all right?
That's so true.
No, it's so true because you've got five teams that don't even have a regional sports network. Two teams are playing in a minor league stadium.
Right.
They have the worst blackout rules in sports.
I want to have a discussion with you on this. So I'm not speaking to every other baseball fan. I'm talking to Met fans and Yankee fans. And to me, I'm a cut the cord guy, okay? I've tried. I'm realizing that in order to watch all of our teams, and that includes ESPN, when the Yankees are on yesterday, you need to have so many different services that it's leading me to believe we're better off with cable. Where am I wrong?
All right, stop. All right, first off, the guy goes on a Mad Dog show. Mad Dog's got a ridiculous beard, by the way, and cries. It makes himself look sympathetic, okay?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what Yankee or Mets fans need to do starting tonight. You go on the internet and you steal that game, okay? I don't care about Apple TV. I don't care about any of this stuff. You send a message to everybody. I know they're listening on 6th Avenue right now. They're about to have a 2-year work stoppage because they have ruined the product to that point. And I got guys coming on me. I got you saying that they should just go buy cable.
No, but
don't do that.
JR, if you want to talk about Rob Manfred as commissioner and the state of baseball, I'm probably going to agree with you on like 89% of the issues. I'm talking to the fan out there who couldn't watch the Met game today. Or yesterday. And all I'm saying is it's more mocking the world we live in with streaming services.
Right.
That you're better off with cable. That it's easier if you want to watch the Knicks and the Nets and the Rangers and the Yankees and the Mets. And oh, by the way, some of those games are on national TV. You're better off with cable. That's just a fact.
And it's cheaper than getting all the other things you need in life. TV-wise anyway. That's the point he's missing. You are being the everyman. World's flipped. It's cheaper to have cable.
We're not talking about Rob Manfred and the cable situation of the Minnesota Twins. If we were doing a show on KFan, we would.
Right.
We're not. We're talking to New Yorkers.
But then you can't. Well, is White Lotus on Max?
Yes. And HBO.
No. Is it on cable Max?
Yeah, well, cable Max is HBO.
Correct.
I know, but I've never watched
it. It is
the
live,
show on...
live Sundays at 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay. So
if you get cable... and you pay for the channels you want. It's expensive. We all know cable's expensive. You won't have to worry about all this BS we're talking about. I don't work for a cable company. I don't even like cable. I wish we could have cut the cords. I'm just being honest.
But the problem is you cut the cord to make it cheaper.
It's not cheaper.
And it's not cheaper because there's so many services.
Or it's cheaper, but you're not getting everything you want.
Yes.
And
so you ultimately have to get cable anyways.
Right.
Or another streaming service.
Yes.
Like Gotham.
Yes. If you want, like, think about the way these teams are split up. Okay, we have all different types of fandoms. But even if you're a fan of a team, you probably watch the other teams in town, too. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you'd like to in the right opportunity. So you end up having to get so many different services. And that doesn't even include the non-sports things that we're interested in watching.
What about Peacock?
It's a great question. What about Peacock? Now... getting cable does not help you with tonight's Met game. I'll be the first to tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Apple TV Plus exclusive. It is what it is. And unfortunately, it's only one game. I think it's two games in totality. I think there's only one other game that's on Apple TV Plus for the Mets. But I'm just being honest. As far as Rob Manfred's concerned, he's one of the worst commissioners I've ever seen.
But as
I ain't defending his ass.
As Evan said earlier, there's always the Odyssey Mets Network.
Right. Or what JR said, which is just steal it.
He wants us to pirate it. I like that. We're scallywags.
Scallywags? Yeah, we're scallywags. Yeah. I like it.
Pirate the Mets game.
Yeah, that's what you should do. We'll come back with more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Plus, Deion Sanders was very open and honest when asked direct questions about Shador Sanders and his future with the New York Giants. The LA Dodgers, of course, have Max Muncy. You recall, he's the third baseman for the LA Dodgers. Kind of one of those guys with a big fat face. Left-handed bat with pop. There is a young infielder on the A's named Max Muncy. Has the exact same name.
Was throwing me off in the fantasy draft.
Was throwing everybody off. Like, it's one thing to have a similar name, but it's the exact same name. Max Muncy and Max Muncy. Okay? All right. So he's a prospect with the A's, actually made the team. So I could see how in fantasy it would throw you off. Are you ready for how this gets weirder? They have the same name. They both play baseball. The exact same birthday.
No, they don't.
Think I'm kidding?
There's no way.
You think I would make this up?
And they're not related.
They are not related. Now, obviously, they were not born on the same year, but they were born on the same day. You want to prove me right? Go to Baseball Reference, Sean, and find A's Max Muncy. Okay?
Why can't we just take your word for it?
Oh, okay, then just take my word for it. August 25th, same birthday. Isn't that crazy? You're so lazy, you don't even want to look it up to confirm I'm not pulling the chain.
I can confirm that Dodgers Max Muncy is born
on
August 25th.
No, I already did Dodgers Max. Okay, fine.
Well, I'm double confirming.
All right, let me look at the...
Maxwell Price Muncy.
Yes.
He was
What's
born
his birthday?
On August 25th.
That's right.
2002.
That's right.
So they don't have the same birthday.
Now, Maxwell Stephen Muncy.
Yes, the Dodger Muncy.
Was born on August 25th, 1990.
So 12 years apart, but the exact same birthday. How freaking weird is that?
We have to start calling them Stephen and Price.
How about we call young Muncy and old Muncy, or skinny Muncy and fat face Muncy?
Let's see. The older Max Muncy's nickname is Muncy or Funky Muncy. And the young Muncy is a rookie, so he does not yet have a nickname.
He doesn't have
at least
yet.
Not according to Baseball Reference.
Not yet. The Mets had two guys named Bobby Jones, and they were both pitchers.
Well, that's a common name.
I agree. That was less weird.
Yeah, Muncy is an odd name.
Yes, Max Muncy with the same birthday. You got to admit that's freaking crazy.
Yeah,
crazy. Now, real quick, before you get back to your baseball calls, it's been a very baseball-heavy show. You can always rewind on the Odyssey app, hear Tiki Barber become very arrogant about his baseball knowledge when he correctly predicted that Austin Wells would hit a leadoff home run for the New York Yankees to start the 2025 season. A lot of debates around Juan Soto. But Deion Sanders, who just signed an extension to stay in school, so good for him, he did an interview with Skip Bayless. And I don't watch that much of Skip Bayless. I don't know that much about Skip Bayless. But apparently a lot of people don't like him. He has strong opinions and whatnot. I thought Skip Bayless did an absolutely brilliant job interviewing Deion Sanders. I enjoyed it. And what I loved is he asked all the questions that I wanted and I think you guys would want.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to the good stuff. Point blank, Skip asks him, do you want to see your son, Shador Sanders, play in New York? Take a
would
listen.
Would you like to see your son play in New York just because it's New York?
Honestly, Shador has told me, he's talked to me intently about all the visits he's had with all the teams, so I know where his heart is. I know where he wants to go. If it's New York, it's New York. If it's Tennessee, if it's Cleveland, if it's still the Raiders, if it's New Orleans, if it's any of those teams that are seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it, man, because I know what he's going to do to the organization. I know what he's going to do.
By the way, great answer by Deion.
Right, it was a non-answer.
There was something in that answer, though.
What's that?
Shador knows what he wants.
Oh, what he wants. So that doesn't mean that's what he's going to get.
Right.
Why, he wore giant cleats, so I'm assuming he wants New York.
Is that what you think?
I mean, did he wear anybody else's cleats?
You think Shador Sanders wants the New York Giants?
I think he wants the New York Giants. I think he wants the smoke.
Do you agree with that?
The fan base.
I do, and I think it also is the city. I think he wants New York City. I think you don't go to the Diamond District and have a catch with Malik Nabers if he's not doing that with Jerry Jeudy in Cleveland.
True. Let's see if this is three for three. Tommy, as a Giant fan, do you think Shador wants New York?
I think Shador wants to go number one overall. He also said he only plays with the Browns on Madden. He wore those cleats when the Giants held the number one overall pick. He hasn't since worn Giants cleats, to my knowledge. I think he wants to go number one
overall. The season's over, Tommy. Like, how is he wearing Giants cleats?
But he was also liking tweets or Instagram posts when the Raiders had the number one overall pick. He wants to go number one overall.
So,
okay, the liking of tweets could be his social media team.
It could be.
The everything else could be just positioning because it's convenient.
I think the Sanders family dynasty wants him to go one.
He wore giant cleats.
So I didn't cut this audio, so you just have to trust me on this, but you brought up the he wants to go number one, which is a very fair opinion to have. Deion Sanders made it very clear. Now, again, it's Deion, so it's not Shador. And he made a joke how sometimes it's better off not going early because you go to a better team the further in the draft you go. And he at least said that they don't really care how early he's taken. So take it for what it's worth. May not mean anything.
I think that's true. It doesn't matter. Like he's going to make a ton of money as a rookie anyways. And then all that really matters is getting to your first real contract.
Well, and I go beyond that. I think what really matters is being in a situation in which you're better equipped to succeed and not fail.
True.
Going number one overall right now, you tell me, you watch them play a lot. Is the Tennessee Titans a great situation?
It's better than most.
Is the Giants situation better?
That are drafting number one. Giants is worse because the uncertainty of the regime.
Interesting, okay.
Whereas, obviously, I think Dabes is a great coach, but I think in Brian Callahan in Tennessee, he's a good quarterback coach, and he can put in a good system. Mm-hmm. He just hasn't had the quarterback to do it with Will Levis.
I'm crazy then as an IBO, or IFO. I think the Giants are a better situation because I've seen Daboll do it. Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't seen that yet with Callahan.
Right.
I love Malik Nabers as a toy to have.
You did, but you didn't because you associated it with, what's the head coach of the Bengals?
Zach Taylor. Yes, exactly. Right. I saw it, but I didn't see it.
You saw it, but you didn't see it.
I saw Brian Daboll get Daniel Jones to succeed.
Right, but Zach Taylor probably had a lot of help from Brian Callahan with Joe Burrow.
Probably, maybe.
You know what I mean? And so, in fact, when I did one of those games, Joe said that, basically. He does everything for Brian, for the head coach. So he's done it. Dave's just done it more interestingly because he did it with Josh Allen as a coordinator in Buffalo, and then he did it with, or him and, you know, everybody else around him did it with Daniel Jones.
That's my bias. That's why off the top, I would say, boy, I think Shador's better off going to the Giants than the Tennessee Titans, but I don't know. Like, my guess is, where does he prefer to go? Knowing the realistic possibilities, I think he does prefer to come to New York. I think you guys are right.
Right.
You just got the wrong team. I think he prefers to be a Jet. I mean, Garrett Wilson, Aaron Glenn, like, you guys.
Not if the Giants get both Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders and screw you.
How are they doing that?
Oh, that's the new spicy online.
How are the Giants getting Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter?
Hear me out. Last year on Hard Knocks, who was the team that we heard Joe Shane, general manager of the Giants, on the phone with the most?
Patriots.
Mm-hmm. The Patriots. The Patriots need a quarterback right now?
Nope. No.
Okay. So Abdul Carter goes number two. Giants draft Travis Hunter number three. Patriots sitting there at number four going, wait a minute, neither Hunter or Carter fell to us? Mm. What are we doing? What are we doing? Joe Shane back on the horn. Here's next year's first. Here's a pair of day two picks. Let us get back in, and we're pairing Shador Sanders.
Would you do that, though? Because you usually don't trade a future number one to get someone who's not a quarterback.
But you've protected yourself by already selecting Travis Hunter as your first rounder this
year. Oh, no, you're right. I got it wrong.
Right.
You're right. You took Travis Hunter. I got to tell you.
It's actually not a bad idea.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's pretty good.
Your Patriots sit there going, we didn't get either?
Especially if you think you're going to be good and that number one pick that you gave up is not going to be top 10.
Yeah. That's a good one. Who came up with it? Not you.
Not me. I've seen it floated around Giants Twitter the last 48 hours.
So some guy, Carl 1219, came up with
that. I guess Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders did some podcast together where it was like kind of hinted at maybe we're going to end up playing together in the NFL, and that's become the new juicy rumor.
That's a good one. No, I like that one. Mm. By the way, another direct question that Skip Bayless asked Deion Sanders, which I think everybody in the audience would want to know the answer to, was point blank, would you try to orchestrate a trade to get Shador Sanders to his preferred location? Mm. Pull an Archie Manning.
And?
Here's the question and answer.
But there's no way you want to orchestrate where he goes, or are you going to play a hand in it?
Because that's not God's will right now.
He's
like, I want Shador to do what he's consistently done, excel against all odds. I like the hating, I like the naysaying, I like the ignorance because it makes us feel better about what we do. And it gives him another chip on his shoulder, man.
It does.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. I agree.
I love Deion. Mm. By the way, how badass is that? His answer was, he's going to be so good, it doesn't freaking matter.
And hate on me all you want because it gives him another chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
That's actually a great answer.
It's a great answer. And, you know, when Archie Manning and the Mannings orchestrated the trade, it didn't happen here because we were the victors, right? Mm-hmm. You guys got Eli Manning. Archie Manning was ripped all around the country.
Yeah, he was. But it didn't last. It didn't,
no, you're right.
It didn't stick because social media wasn't a thing.
You're right.
Or it was in its nascent phase, so it didn't matter.
It did not stick. So based on these answers, I believe Deion Sanders. I don't think he's pulling any smoke here. I think I'm going to take another L, which is I've always thought Shador will end up with the Giants. I stand by that. What I don't stand by is I believe Deion. I don't think he's orchestrating anything. Right. Now, he could be playing 4D chess here where he says this, but then privately is trying to make a trade. But I'm going to believe that Deion's not doing that. And he's confident in his son. He believes in his son. And wherever he ends up, we're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, he should be. He's been that way his whole life with his kid.
Let's go to Jimmy calling from Queens. How are you, Jimmy?
Good, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
So,
I'm a Mets fan. I do want to defend Tommy on Acuna a bit. But yeah. First, I want to congratulate Sean because between the fifth inning, Soto leaving, and Saquon winning the Super Bowl, he deserved that Soto strikeout yesterday a lot.
That's a fair point.
I think he needed a win.
Yeah, he's had a lot of L's recently, and that's a little tiny win for Sean. So you know what? Well said, Jimmy.
I'm asleep like a baby.
Yeah. It does remind me a little of when he victory lapped after Saquon dropped that ball against Atlanta early in the season.
You know what, Jimmy? That's a great point.
That hopefully meant nothing.
That should be a lesson to Yankee fans. Don't pop that champagne early. Sean found out the hard way when he was celebrating that. Yeah. This, you know, it's for opening day.
That's a good point. It's a good point. Now, what's your defense on Tommy? For those of you just tuning in, Tommy wants to defend every bowel movement that Luis Angel Acuna does. Mm. So I think he was defending his horrible throw. We're all loving his great at-bat, by the way. No one's against that. So, Jimmy, floor is yours.
Yeah, so I don't think he's ever going to be a superstar, but I think there's a great comparison for what he could be. There's a guy that plays over with the Dodgers named Kiki Hernandez who turns it on every time in the playoffs and late in games. And I think that's what Acuna can be. And I think from what we've been told about him, that's a very good comparison.
So it's a great, interesting point with any prospect, right? I remember BT, your guy, got a lot of crap for something he said, but I got to defend his origins of why he said it. And that was, would you sign for Anthony Volpe being Francisco Lindor? And this was before Volpe had really made like his debut. And BT's like, no, I expect him to be better. And if you go back...
Really? What year was this?
Before Volpe played.
Okay, so this was before Lindor was the man.
And Lindor was struggling in New York. So two things that you need to keep in mind. But what BT was saying, which is what a lot of us say about prospects, is, hey, I've got star belief in them. I'm not going to sign for something that's average. Now, obviously a lot has changed, so that's one of those opinions that doesn't age well. But I'll defend him any day because I understand what he's saying. And so Tommy's going to be in a very similar situation right now. Luis Angel Acuna is someone you clearly adore. You believe he can be a star.
Yes.
Okay. Would you sign for that comparison? KK Hernandez is certainly not a star. He's not even really an everyday player, but he's a really good major leaguer. And you want him on your team, and he's a winner, and he's a lights-on player. So if I told you right now, would you sign for KK Hernandez's career for Luis Angel Acuna, what would your answer be?
I think I'm going to give the same answer that BT gave. I expect more, but I do think winning championship teams need the David Ecksteins, the Kiki Hernandez, the guys that are hitting, you know, sixth or seventh, eighth in the lineup, but are really like three hitters when it comes to the postseason and get those big hits.
Right.
So I think the potential in his ceiling is higher than Kiki, but if you have that kind of career where you're a winner and you get clutch hits with this type of roster, I'd love it. But I think he's better than
that. So the answer is no.
So the answer is no.
Okay. You know.
He said no. Yeah,
he's had a 12-year career.
I know. I think Acuna is going to be a superstar, though.
This is the problem we all run into.
I know.
We're asked about a prospect. Would you sign for blank career? And you become very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say fat kid who wants more cake, but that seems mean. So what do we go with?
Augustus in the movie with the golden.
You don't know the movie?
No.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Willy Wonka.
It's a great reference, but come on. Gotta know the movie.
I threw you the ball, you shoot. What is this, a one-man show? I gave you the assist.
Also, why would you say Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, well, what is it? That's the original.
No, the original is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you brought this up. So my kids watched all those movies recently. Right. I kept getting confused on which was which. The original movie with a redhead guy.
Gene
Wilder.
Yes.
What is the name of that movie?
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Charlie is the kid with no teeth that wins.
Okay. Yeah. The new one.
No. Hold on. Time out. Everybody's right here.
Everybody.
The first one is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. There was a second one in 05 with Johnny Depp.
Yep.
That was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Right.
And the last one with Timothy Chalamet is Wonka.
Wonka was very good, by the way.
Right. So I knew they were all three.
What was that?
I knew all three were correct. I just was like, why do I, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is definitely a movie.
But yeah, it is. But Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I thought going in was about how Charlie takes over. And not. It's the same story as Willy Wonka.
Yeah, it's the same movie.
So when referencing the plot.
It's just that Johnny Depp is weird as
weird
hell.
Weird as hell.
Terrible movie.
But wouldn't you agree, Tiki, as a man of classics, when referencing the plot of the movie, you always lean, it's Willy Wonka. You don't lean on, it's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Of my, let's see, how would I rate those three?
Well, the original has to be number one.
Right.
So it has I don't know.
Even if you don't believe... Wonka's very good.
Wonka was outstanding.
But that's a different movie. That's a prequel, if you will.
Yes.
Yes.
Because that sets up how he became like this crazy chocolate guy.
Well, I think
you got to look at the two other movies.
But you're right. You're right. Wonka was... And the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory was better because Gene Wilder's such a great, unbelievable
actor.
And
you always have to, even if you don't like it more, like just out of respect, you always have to reference the original movie when making a reference. Don't you have to? Even if you don't like it.
Right. So you're admitting you're wrong and I was right.
I don't know if I'm right or wrong because I'm still confused on which one's which.
He said Charlie, so he's wrong.
They're all three of them are the same.
They're not the same.
What do you mean they're not the same?
Wonka is a prequel.
Wonka's a prequel.
Yes.
Wonka is before he was Willy Wonka.
Yeah. It's actually, it came out.
He was just trying to make candy.
Right. It came out like within the last year and it shows you how that character became like the crazy chocolate guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Sean, I think I remember having this conversation.
Timothée Chalamet is Dune too, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And Bob Dylan.
Yep. Bob Dylan.
He's had quite a run.
He hates
And now he's dating Jenner.
Is Kylie.
Yeah. I'm all over this. I'm a social pop, you know, I know stuff. But I'll never forget. I think I didn't forget. So I saw Wonka, and I was like, this movie was really good. My kids loved it. Okay, great. I tell Sean, this movie's great. Sean goes to see it and got a little perturbed that I didn't warn him it was basically a musical.
It was my first movie back in the theaters post-COVID. I hadn't been in years.
Right.
Did you not
enjoy it?
Are you not entertained?
All right, there's two things at play here. By the end of the movie, did I appreciate that it was a good movie?
Yes.
Yes. 3 minutes in, when Timothée Chalamet is singing on a boat, I turned to my wife and said, we got to get out of here.
That's funny.
That is funny.
Let's go to Paul in Trenton, New Jersey. What's up, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
Yeah, hi, guys. You know, as a big Yankee fan, I panicked and was worried and disgusted watching him pitch that ninth inning. But Yankee fans should take out of that, if you look at his face, he never got flustered. If you look at him, he never panicked.
Yeah,
true.
And that really showed a lot because I've seen pitchers panic and make faces and do different things. Watch it. His face never changed.
I agree. That's why I thought, as shaky as it was, I walked away from it feeling good about him. I never thought it was some kind of mental breakdown. And the other thing I do want to bring up, and you got to forget the Mets aspect of this, because it really has nothing to do with it, but it does have everything to do with it. The last time Devin Williams was on the mound, he blew a brutal game.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about who was against. I know we obviously have a feeling towards it because it was us, but the individual,
right?
This elite-level closer's last time on the mound was as bad of a blown save in a big spot as one can have. And you wonder as a competitor, you tell me, because you've competed, if it's at all on your mind, especially as you're struggling in the ninth inning trying to protect the
lead. I'm sure it is. And probably not that specific moment, but the pressure of being in a new spot with pinstripes in Yankee Stadium, it's real. And so sometimes it takes some time to settle down. And I think Sean's point about his entrance, which I didn't even realize until you brought it up because it wasn't shown on television, I mean, that just throws you off.
Completely.
Right? Your energy, like you have this energy dump that just never comes back.
The ump literally halted him and pointed up at the scoreboard to show him that they were reviewing and he was totally thrown off.
Yeah.
Is it also possible he was thinking about tipping his pitches? That was in the back of his mind. The last game he threw in a big league game, he was tipping his pitches.
Yeah, I doubt it because he didn't have that issue in spring training. So I doubt it.
Maybe. Maybe not. I have no idea. I'm very excited about something. Have you guys heard of this actor named Tom Hanks? You familiar with him?
Yes.
You've heard of this guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Castaway?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that the first movie that would jump out at you?
No. Forrest Gump.
Yep.
Forrest Gump's number one?
Or Toy Story.
Philadelphia.
Toy Story?
Philadelphia.
What do you mean Toy Story?
How about Big? Would you go with Big?
Or Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan. Okay.
Turner and Hooch.
So, Tom Hanks.
The Terminal.
Tom Hanks is a lot like me.
Why?
Because he posted on Instagram his scorecard kept at home of the Dodger-Tiger game. Look at this scorecard, Deke. How would you describe this to the radio and the TV audience?
It's messier than yours.
Well, mine's very organized. So.
I know, but it's a pretty well-kept scorecard.
Well, he made up a scorecard. Like, he literally has loose leaf paper, and he put lines down it, and that's how he made a scorecard, which just shows me I really got to design my own scorebook and start selling it to Tom Hanks.
I'm going to admit something for the first time ever on this show.
You scored the game yesterday!
I did not, but on the ride home, I wish I did.
Really? Why?
I realized the power of scoring, because it wasn't until Emmanuel Barbaro does a great job on the postgame show and me sitting in traffic on the Major Deegan that I realized Jackson Chourio had 5 strikeouts in the game.
See, that's the thing about scoring. You realize
when he came up in the night, yep. I didn't even realize.
Right.
All right. So you're not even worried about it?
No.
But you shouldn't have been, because he was just off.
Right.
By the way, the original book by Roald Dahl
mm-hmm.
was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Wait, so let me get this straight now. I apologize. Forget about scoring games, because I got to get this straight. So the book was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, great
the
author.
The first movie, the original that everybody loves, Gene Wilder, is...
Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes.
Then they go back and do a remake, and they go back to Charlie and the Chocolate
That's
Factory.
That's correct. And then they do a prequel, and it's called Wonka.
The prequel is, to me, it's completely different. It's a different movie, the different name, right. Whatever. Is that not weird to you?
Yeah, but I don't know why they didn't just call it Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but I think this might have been a Gene Wilder ego thing.
Oh.
Because
that's a great. So
you gotta remember actors in that era were egotistical.
So they may have called it Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's about this poor kid who wins the golden ticket.
Yes.
And then Gene Wilder, that arrogant douche that he is like, no.
He's not arrogant.
The movie's about me.
I've got a golden ticket.
So we're gonna go with the movie after my name.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Thinking back to that original. Mm-hmm. Now I'm gonna be an IMO, an independent movie observer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, because it's about the kid.
It's about the kid. The kid is the main character. But the kid is the story.
But the star of the show is Gene Wilder.
Yeah. Let's go to Tony in Brooklyn. How are you, Tony?
Guys, not for nothing. I'm trying to talk about the Yankees. You're talking about chocolate. I already have a body by Ronzoni, and I'm starving. Okay? All right, so be that as it may.
Tony.
I'm a Yankee fan since 61. Okay? I'm watching... Top of the ninth, bases loaded, no outs. I'm saying they should shave this guy from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, okay? But, Evan, you brought up a very good point.
Yeah.
They shaved 26 large on Cole when he went down, and Cashman's talking about the cap. And that's the difference between your owner and my team that's run by the general manager. Because your owner will do anything and everything to get them into the World Series to win it. Not to lose it, to win it. And that's the difference. And I'm watching the Yankees since 61. I'm telling you, I'm fearful that they don't have enough pitching.
Well,
because you can have all the bats in the world.
Yeah, you may be right, Tony. And what he's referring to is that the Yankees are likely to get a savings of about $27 million on insurance for Gerrit Cole missing the year. Now, that money has probably not come in yet. I don't know when that money comes in. It probably wouldn't even come in until after the season,
right.
If I'm guessing. But they are going to save a lot of money. And so he is saying, hey, I know Hal and Brian have brought up many times the Steve Cohen tax, and you got to pay 110% on every dollar you spend over that number, but you're saving $27 million. You should reuse it. And I agree with you, but my defense of Cashman's going to be this. It may be best for him to reuse it in July.
Mm.
The moment may not be, despite me wearing this L, Nolan Arenado. The moment may be someone else that we're not thinking about. So I agree. If I'm a Yankee fan, I say money should be no object. Go get me baseball players who make me better. Nolan Arenado would have made me better. But in fairness, let's see. If they reuse this before the trade deadline, the savings that they got on Gerrit Cole, because if they're in a pennant race, Tiki, you have to assume they will.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. This team was in a World Series a year ago. They're not going to just let the season fade away if they need something at the break.
Well, and
you hope that Stanton gets back healthy.
Yep.
Like Oswaldo Cabrera was fine at third base, hitting in the 9 spot yesterday afternoon. So it's not they're not desperate for it.
They're not desperate. And here's the other thing. It's early in a season. You let the season play out.
Yes.
The Yankees got really good news that I don't think has gotten enough attention yesterday when Boone said in his pregame press conference, Giancarlo's swinging a bat.
Mm-hmm.
He says that, and it's like, whoa, okay. He's clearly on the move to right. potentially coming back. On July 20th, when we're sitting here, because I'll be back after a European vacation, and we're all sitting here breaking down the trade deadline, and the Yankees are right there in the American League East, Sean Morash may not want a third baseman. He may say, oh, yeah, right. Oswaldo's. You may want a starter.
Mm-hmm.
You may need a reliever. Who the hell knows? So you do give yourselves more time to figure out, okay, who is and what is the missing
piece? You may need a bat if Giancarlo Stanton is not healthy.
Correct.
There's tons of other things that can still happen. It almost, I don't want to say it's you're lucky, but you are kind of lucky he got hurt now, meaning Giancarlo Stanton, so that you can figure out what you need when you need it.
We did make Giancarlo Stanton injury return predictions, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm not even going to look at the piece of paper. Mm. I'm not going to announce it to the audience. When Giancarlo comes back, it's going to be a big surprise to all of us on the dates we each predicted for Stanton's return. The only thing I remember is that Sean Morash said he would be out for the season. So you're the only one who I know would be potentially wrong if he comes back.
I'm still on pace.
Mm-hmm. you are on pace.